Good evening, brothers and sisters. So good to be with you, and welcome to this Good Friday service here at No Hope Church. And for those of you joining us online and live, we're here because of a man. And in the history of time, people have asked the question, who is Jesus? Well, he is perhaps the most important person of all of history. Our very time clocks and the way that we do life are governed by them. We have a holiday that we celebrate in the spring at this time, and another that we celebrate in the winter that bear witness to his name. The best-selling book of all time, selling over 20,000 times the number of the second place book, Homer's Iliad, is the Bible that speaks to this penultimate person. Countless roads and streets and universities and hospitals bear his name or something to that name. Who is this Jesus? Had the joy last week of Pastor Paul's opening us up in this series called I Am, as we look at the life and person of Jesus Christ. And though many have tried to refute him, many who love him, he still stands. Arnold Toynbee once said, if you could find the body of that dead Jew, Christianity would crumble to its foundation. Who is this Jesus? That would lead several of us a little over a week ago to travel almost 30 hours by plane to come to a group of people and to ask them, have you heard of Jesus? And some said yes, and some said no. And to watch how one name could transform not only the present, not only the tomorrow, but the eternity of those who hear his name. Who is this Jesus? Well, I want to invite you this evening to turn to Luke's gospel, the 22nd chapter. We're going to be in verses 66 through 71 as we continue in the I Am series, because there were some people who were wondering who this Jesus was or who he thought he was. And they wanted to get down to the crux of the matter. In Luke chapter 22, verse 66, oh my, it had been a long night for Jesus, betrayed by Judas, one of his own, taken into custody, arrested, and taken off to the meetings before the meetings. Some of y'all have been in that before, the meetings before the meetings. Dragged along to a man named Ananias' home. He was the former high priest, and then taken from there to his son-in-law's home, Caiaphas. And there in that time, they gathered around a kangaroo court to bring charges against this Jesus based on the things that he had said. And during that time, before the rooster would crow three times, one of Jesus' closest disciples would deny him three times. Now this gathering of this illegally, hastily convened religious trial before this council, it was there for one purpose. In the middle of the night, a group of people gathered together to find some way to put Jesus to death. The strange thing is that they weren't even looking for the facts, let alone the truth as many came with false testimonies. But there was something about this Jesus person that stirred things up. And it says in verse 66, if you're there, it says, and when the day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together both the chief priests and scribes, and they led him, Jesus, away to their council. Mark and Matthew's gospel puts it like this. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation. Literally, they took counsel against Jesus to put him to death with the elders and scribes and the whole council with the objective of giving him over to Jesus. This council, it was called the Sanhedrin. It was the Supreme Court of the Jews, numbering about 70 people with the high priest as the president. And they would gather in this room called the Hall of Hewn Stones. And there Jesus, the condemned, would stand right here. And in a semicircle, much like our sanctuary here, would gather the scribes, the Pharisee, the laws, the elders, so that they could see one another. And they began to bring these charges against Jesus. And one of the first questions they asked him, they said, if you are the Christ, tell us. Now, Pastor Matthew has noted this before, as well as Pastor Paul, that Jesus Christ is not his last name, nor is it a swear name either. It meant that he was the anointed one, that he was the Messiah. It spoke specifically to the hope of the Jewish people, for the one who would come to rule and reign. And these teachers of these laws, these learned men, they said to him, if you are the Christ, tell us. And Jesus says to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. And the truth of the matter is, he's right. You see, earlier in Mark chapter 16, it notes, Matthew 26, the high priest says to Jesus in that close, you know, the meeting before the meeting thing. He says, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you emphatically are the Christ, the Son of God. And in Mark, Jesus says, the title of our series, I am. I am. You see, this title indicated that Jesus' followers believed him to be the anointed son of King David. And for some Jews, the expected person to restore the fortunes of Israel. But they weren't thinking that this man from Galilee or this person from Nazareth, from backwater. No, not him. They said, are you the Christ? So Jesus said, I am. And not only that, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. To say this, Jesus is saying, yes, I'm the Messiah. And even more of that, you see, the Son of Man stood for Jesus' role as God's divine appointed person to carry out judgment. Listen, Psalm 110, verse 1. These learned Sanhedrin, y'all who are out here, when Jesus is saying this, something's clicking in their mind, and they're thinking of Psalm 110, where Jesus says, where the Bible says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies a footstool. You see, these words were representing the highest possible claim to deity. And for most Jews, that was out of bounds. That was more than to put your hands on your hip and shake your head and be like, no. It was really out of bounds, because the thought of a human being sitting with the transcendent God without going through cultic purification and worship, it was an insult to God's uniqueness. The Pharisees get a bad rap, but they didn't even want to say the name Yahweh. It was that important. Now listen, I'm going somewhere with this. Author Robert Morgan says that Jesus wasn't saying that he was less than God or a product or prodigy of God. He was claiming to be God himself. And in the resurrection, we see that God puts the proof in the pudding. That when it's saying that this is the one seated with God, that literally in the resurrection, God pulls back the chair and says, "Have a seat, son." Who is this Jesus? For these individuals, it was a message that his audience couldn't miss. Why do you say that, PDM? Listen, John 5:18 made it clear. This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill Jesus. Not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but that he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. This then leads to another question. So they said to them, "Are you then the Son of God?" Now, when we hear that, we're thinking certain things, but for them, they're thinking of Daniel chapter 7, when it speaks of the Ancient of Days coming with judgment, coming with power, coming with authority. And listen, the Sanhedrin, they had a good thing. Rome liked them, liked y'all being in power. It was good. And this Jesus from Nazareth was messing it up. Jesus says to them, "You say that I am." Now, this may seem a little evasive to us, but actually Jesus is agreeing with their assessment of his identity. When the Lord calls himself the Son of Man, he's stressing his humanity. Thank you, Jesus. That we don't have a high priest who's unable to suffer with us and understand our weaknesses. But when he calls himself the Son of God, he's emphasizing his deity. It's not just an ordinary person named Jesus. And upon hearing these words, those who are wondering, "Who is this Jesus?" say, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his lips." Luke 23 puts it this way. One, they said, and they all cried out. They began to say, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Who is this Jesus? He is the Christ, the anointed one. He is the Son of Man who understands our weaknesses. He is the Son of God who, being perfectly man and perfectly God, could go to a cross and die for our sins. The Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and others, upon hearing who Christ was, they rejected him. They sought to snuff him out. They sought to silence him. My, isn't that strange how the learned and well-resourced that had everything wanted to snuff out Jesus. But these fishermen and others that would not make it through most of our company's HR process were the ones that said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." As Pastor Matthew and Chris Jones and Jason McNutt and I sat with people talking about Jesus, and oh my, the fields are white unto harvest. As a number of people hearing about this Jesus were like, "Yes, I want him. I want the one who said, 'I am the bread of life.' I want the one who said, 'I am the light of the world.' I want the one who said, 'I'm the doorway,' that 'I'm the good shepherd,' that 'I'm the resurrection and the life,' that 'I'm the way, the truth, and the life.' This God-man, this Jesus, is the one that John the Baptist said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" This is the message of hope. You see, on this night many years ago, the eternal Son of God like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Now, wait a minute. If put us on him is our transgressions bad, our iniquities bad, but upon us we have peace, good. Can't get that at Arbor Lakes. Can't get it at Amazon. Can't get it at Nickelodeon World. You ain't got enough tokens to take this ride. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Oh, you see, God gave his life on a cross to the glory of God that we could be called redeemed children. Jesus would leave that place with all of those leaders really convinced and understanding that this one claims to be the Son of God, which is why we're condemning him to death. But oh, no, no, no. If the devil would have known, he would have left him alone. But Jesus says, I lay down my life and I pick it back up again. And just like the Sanhedrin, where you sit today, had a choice either to believe and to receive this Jesus or to say, away with him. Away with him. That's for the kids. That's for the older people. It's for a gentleman I was having a conversation with this week as he explained how God captured his heart. And he said, there was a period of time where I thought to myself, you know what? I'll just wait till I'm older. But with the life plan and what the world had to offer compared to the I am. Well, I got a house. Well, I am has an eternal home for you. Well, I got a grudge. Well, I am has peace through forgiveness for you and through you for others. Well, I think I got it together, but I got these dead parts on me. I am has resurrection and life for you. But as you sit in this semicircle, and the Lord is here saying, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You can't put enough money down. See, you can't buy ownership. You might be able to buy ownership of Twitter, but you can't buy ownership of the kingdom of God. You ain't got what it costs to pay for that. That's why we say we'll cherish the old rugged cross. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the great I am, the anointed Son of God and Son of Man, the perfect Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world and your sins and my sins. And this gospel, Brother Chris, this gospel, not just ridiculous. It is so much more. Pastor Matthew, Jason, as we sat with those people, my American Express offers nothing that the name of Jesus gives. And if you do not know him, the Bible says that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us in order that we might become the righteousness of God. And today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. For now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Who is this Jesus? He's the lover of your soul, willing to lay his life down and die. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you in your name. Amen.